Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, it's another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant. Hi there, Paul.
Hello.
Hey, continuing this discussion on how a trust benefits those beneficiaries.
We talked
quite a bit about taxes, estate taxes, and how to avoid those using a trust last show. People can find that at legacyandfaith.com. Maybe you want to wrap up a few ideas there and move more into how beneficiaries benefit from good planning.
Yeah. So July 1st, Washington State updated their estate tax law. And there's some good news, bad news in all of that. Good news is that they raised the exemption amount. So that means how much can someone own when they pass away before an estate tax starts. And it used to be $2,193,000. It is now at $3 million as of July 1. So that's a good thing. They're an $800,000 addition to people's estate tax. So that means an individual can have up to $3 million. If you have over that, then the estate tax is implemented on assets over that amount. So exemption, exempt from tax, $3 million.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
So specifically nowadays with the cost of homes in our area, and if you had a home, you paid it off, and it just continues to raise in value. Having a little bit of breathing space in your estate, that's a really good thing. And that means that specifically with really good planning, we get to leave those assets to the next generation, to those that we love and care about, whether it's to your children, whether it's to nieces and nephews, whether it's to other beneficiaries. We get to leave that and they're not going to encounter a tax. Now, there is always some tax. It depends on which asset. So any type of a retirement asset that's never been taxed. So if someone inherits an IRA, I use that term generally as a retirement account, then when they take money out of the retirement account, that goes as income. But everything else will flow to your beneficiaries without an estate tax. So in other words, the estate itself, your estate, will not need to pay a tax. Beneficiaries might, depending on the assets that they inherit, specifically retirement plans. But we have an exemption amount in Washington now that has been raised. That's fantastic. Unfortunately, if you have been blessed and the good Lord has given you stewardship of more funds than that, then the tax rates have also increased. So if the top rate, instead of being 21%, so it used to be 21% was the top rate. That was the most that Washington State would tax you. It is now 35%. So that is pretty bitey. Mm-hmm. So Washington State gave a little bit, and then they want to take a lot more on the back end if you are exposed to it. So therefore, good news. Bad news for some. I still don't have those statistics. I really wish I had them. I'd like to know how many estates Washington anticipates would be under that highest tax bracket of 35%. But that's pretty bitey. So yeah. If you've got a decent size estate, boy, it is time to do estate planning, and it's time to do it right now because we can help mitigate and sometimes even fully eliminate that estate tax. So need to do proper planning. That's been my call to action in these past couple shows because there is a new estate tax and it will bite deeper if you are exposed to it. So let's do good planning. All right. So there's a quick review of our last show and just the new Washington State estate tax and what it looks like. Now, after we've paid all the taxes, let's assume for this conversation that that someone did not do really great planning. They didn't come and see me. Ah, very sad. I could have helped. But now they've passed away, and assume in the story that all the taxes have been paid, okay, and now wealth is passed to the children. Okay, in this story, it's a good story, which is we always want our children to do better than us. At least as a parent of two daughters, that is my hope. My hope is that I set a foundation that my girls can walk after me. And because I built a stronger foundation, you know, my parents built the first floor. I want to take, I want to build the second floor on it. And then I want to leave the second floor so that my girls can build the third. I always want my children to do better than me. At least that's the heart of a father, probably for most of us. Okay, so great. The story is that my girls are doing well and they're making good income. They've married well and they're doing great. So with no planning at all, so let's talk about that both my wife and I pass away. I have now left money to my kids, but I did it in a manner to where I used beneficiary designations and I used a will, or I used a cheap trust. Don't use cheap trusts. Use better trusts. So, and that cheap trust, unfortunately, what I see all the time are trusts simply act like a trumped up will, which is at the end of the day, we're trying to preserve taxes from estate, but then we just give the money to the kids, to the next generation. Well, what that means is that the children then bring that new wealth and they put it into their own personal accounts. So what have they done? Well, they just raised their own personal wealth value to a higher level because they just received a windfall. Mm. Well, the potential then, specifically if your children are doing well, is that they may already be at a place where they need to do good estate planning because they would be exposed to Washington state estate tax. Now you've passed away, you give them more money, and all of a sudden they are up and above the estate tax. Even worse, what if you did have a taxable estate, didn't do good planning? We paid a tax on your money just to get it to the kids, just so that they could add it to their own personal wealth, so that when they die, there's another tax to be paid. In other words, it is a perpetual cycle. Good planning not only addresses your estate tax issues, it addresses the next generation's estate tax issues. Mm. And that's what we want to talk about today. How does good planning stop the estate tax? And I could even boldly say with under current law that I could generationally stop estate taxes for as long as the money can last.
Wow.
So we have to talk about this because unfortunately most trusts don't do this. And this is kind of where I have people that walk out of my office. Oh, Paul's quote wasn't exactly what we had hoped for. That's a little bit more than what we wanted to pay. And they walk away not seeing the full vision of we want to pass money in a way that is going to protect the next generation and even grandkids if our children are going to be financially fiscal and conservative with what we hand them. So how does this work? Whether or not your trust in your estate ultimately pays an estate tax, at the end of closing your trust. So number one, we're going to back out of the first story. I'm going to introduce another story, okay, in order to make this point here. Now the story has changed that you came and saw me. Congratulations. Good job. And we did some good planning together. I got your vision of your family, got some strengths and some weaknesses of your children, of how they manage money, got your vision on how do you want them to utilize the family wealth long term. Maybe even we added some things for grandkids. What? How amazing if you've been given sufficient funds to bless the next generation as well as your children. And so now I've listened to your passion. I've listened to your heart, and we've created a really good, strong foundational plan. Now you and your spouse, if you're married, you've both passed away, and now things are ready to shift from your estate to the next generation. So what happens? Well, in the revocable living trust that we create, we have each beneficiary inherit what is known in our terms as a trust share. So instead of writing a check to somebody, think of a beneficiary designation, a transfer on death is another way to say that. Mm. You have an IRA, you pass away, and you may have your children listed as beneficiaries of your IRA. So that's a transfer on death. And what happens is they just receive that money, similar to a will, and they take it in their own estate. So it becomes a part of their estate. However, in a well-designed trust, again, I'm really emphasizing that because a majority of trusts that I review do not create trust shares. They don't hold the beneficiary's funds in the trust for them. They typically just act like a will and they give the money away. So in a well-designed trust, from my perspective, one option is to create a trust share so that when you pass away, so I have two daughters, if I were to pass away, the firm would split my wife and I's value into two, one for each of my daughters. Now, they would not take ownership of that money. It would actually be left in the trust, but for their benefit. They are the beneficiaries. So why would we want to do that instead of just simply write them a check? Now, they're 28 and 29. And if you have 28 and 29-year-olds, you may understand why I want to leave it in trust, but that's a different story too. So now I want to bless my girls. Well, there's a couple things about a trust share that are pretty phenomenal. Number one, it's not my girls' personal finances. So what if they got into a bad marriage? What if a son-in-law decided he was going to walk away from my daughter? How much of my hard-earned money do I want that son-in-law to walk away with? Mark, how much do you think I want that son-in-law to walk away with?
Absolutely zero.
Absolutely nothing. So now that trust share is going to protect the inheritance. So there's a protection around that money that starts. If I had given that to my daughters, it would be in their name. Hopefully, my girls would have kept it as separate, but actually, that's not what most married people do. Most married individuals bring it in. They put it in as community property. They put both spouses' names on it, and it becomes commingled money, even though it was an inheritance. And it's almost impossible to unwind that in a divorce court. There's a lot of forensic accounting that would have to go on. And so now my daughters are spending a bunch on a divorce attorney just to try to preserve what came from my estate if I used a will or beneficiary designation. But in a trust environment, in a trust share, it's very clear because it has been set aside and now it's been preserved. So there's one benefit of a trust share. There's multiple others that we'll tackle as soon as we come out of break here.
Okay, the ways that a trust can benefit your beneficiaries. We're looking at that this week on the Legacy and Faith Show. You like the way Paul thinks on this subject. You want his help. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
Okay, back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Can I avoid probate? Will I lose everything if my health becomes compromised? How do I preserve what I have for me and my family? Will the government take it all? This is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. These are some of the most common questions we get on a daily basis, and there are solutions for all of these issues. It is time for you to protect your family and what God has placed under your stewardship, and we can help. Go to legacyandfaith.com to find out more about our services and upcoming educational opportunities. That's legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, and very practical discussion this week, how to help your beneficiaries with proper planning, and particularly looking at how estate taxes can be affected by proper planning and the use of a trust this week. Paul, you want to continue on this a little bit more?
Yeah, so in the storyline, we've done really good planning. We've got a revocable living trust for the creators. Now both have passed away. If you're single, then you've passed away. And now we're moving finances. We're moving the wealth to the next generation. And when I use the word wealth, you know, it doesn't take millions and millions and millions of dollars to utilize the term wealth. It could be that you have a home and a couple hundred thousand dollars in an IRA, and all of a sudden that's $1 million nowadays with homes around here. So it doesn't take much. But if your kids are doing really well and they were to receive $500,000, well, that's a pretty darn good day for most people and could actually change their lives. So not only can a trust help manage that, if you had a special needs child, if you have a beneficiary that is just really not very good with money, doesn't make them a bad person. We all have our different skills and our different talents. Finances for some people come very naturally, and they're very conservative, and they understand the market and they know how to invest. Other people don't. It doesn't make them bad or wrong. It just means that they don't have that skill set. It's okay. So there's ways that we can assist a beneficiary to have greater financial success long term through a trust. And so special needs, assistance with good instructions over a period of years to help beneficiaries manage that well. Or if you have a beneficiary that you just go, but I really don't want to put any boundaries around it. I just want them to be able to utilize it, Paul. Not a problem. We can leave that trust very liberal or very freeing to the next generation. So then why would we want to do it? Well, I mentioned some of the protections before we entered into break that a trust share could possibly give the next generation. I don't know the day I'm in a car accident. So therefore, if I had a way to protect my finances, which, by the way, I have car insurance, umbrella policies. We take measures to protect ourselves. But what if we handed finances? What if we handed wealth from one generation to the next generation with a stronger package of protection instead of just car insurance? And protection, not just against that, but against potential divorces, health issues, and the list goes on, bankruptcies. So now we have this bucket that the trust creates and hands to the next generation that if they leave it in there, then not only are the protections secure, but now we have taxes that could be secure. When that money is then given to the next generation, to your beneficiaries, we've closed the estate. So what that means is that we took all the assets out of the first trust name and taken it out of your social security number. And now it's ready to be dropped to the beneficiaries in the trust shares. Well, before we can do that, we're required to take an assessment of what the estate tax is. So whether we have to pay an estate tax or not is irrelevant to this issue. If we have to pay one, then the estate pays it, and whatever is left over in the estate is then given to the beneficiaries. Well, that now has been cleared, for lack of better terminology, of estate taxes. So in other words, when it stays within a trust share and it's not reassessed to their personal Social Security number, to the beneficiary's personal Social Security number, if they were to pass away, then that money, because it was never theirs, is not exposed to the estate tax system again. So let me try to make sure it's hard on radio. I wish I had a whiteboard. I wish you could see my whiteboard. Then it would be great. This is where radio gets really hard. I feel like sometimes when I'm talking about these intricacies, I don't want to lose the listening audience. I'm trying to paint a picture the best I can, and it's really hard sometimes just verbally. When the first estate passes money to the next generation, all the estate taxes had to be paid. Okay, so that means it's kind of, for lack of better terminology, the taxes have been washed off that money. Okay, so that's a good thing. It's kind of like paying your income tax. You get to use that money and not have it not pay income tax again. Mm-hmm. So you can, if you kept it in cash, you could just spend that. And you don't pay income tax again on cash. Because why? Because you paid your taxes the first time. It's the same concept with estate tax planning, which is the first estate to close pays the estate tax. And if it is left in that same bucket, then it's not re-exposed to estate taxes again. Mm. So therefore, the beneficiary can use that money or... should they pass away and the money is transferred, it's not re-exposed to estate tax. Why? Because the estate tax has already been paid on it. And now there are some legal technicalities behind it to make sure that that works properly. Skipping taxes and other fancy words, that language has to be in a properly designed trust to make this all work. But the big deal is that if I leave something substantial to my girls, or let's say back to that story where I have a house and just an IRA and I leave the proceeds of the home in a trust, $500,000, but they don't need to use it because they're doing well and that just is invested and keeps growing, then my girls, after never using it, pass away and now it's left to my grandchildren. Remember, that was not re-exposed to estate taxes. Because it's left in trust, now it goes estate tax-free, not income. We still have to pay the income. The U.S. government wants their income tax every year. It's quite an amazing thing. So a trust has to pay income tax, just like you have to pay income tax. But the growth of it continues to remain outside the purview of estate taxes. You can leave generational money without it being exposed to an estate tax again. So this is a very, very powerful concept, but unfortunately, one that I rarely see in trusts that I review. Why? I don't know. I mean, I think that it's not just about saving your estate tax to the greatest degree possible, but what if we could actually save estate taxes generationally down the line? This is what good planning should look like. This is what good estate planning should actually accomplish. Unfortunately, I don't see it all that often. So to kind of summarize this discussion, a well-designed trust is going to preserve as much as possible, specifically if you're married, at the first spouse's death. We talked at the beginning of the show, and we talked extensively last program that unfortunately most people do not take advantage of good planning to save taxes for their family. So a revocable living trust, I believe, is the proper way to do tax planning. Then when you pass away and you leave it to the next generation, then that money can be held and preserved for future generations, and it can be out of the purview of estate taxes. I think this is a very, very powerful thing. I don't know what my girls are going to do with their inheritance. I have dreams and hopes with what they will do, but I don't specifically know. But what if one of my girls was going to be very conservative with the finances that I give them? I'm hoping both would, but even if just one of them was, and that money grew for them, and then they were able to pass that off to their children, so to my grandchildren. And what if my grandchildren didn't have to pay an estate tax on that money yet again, and then they used it? And what would it look like to actually do such good planning that it blessed multiple generations on down the line? That's the heart and the passion that I have, is create generational planning so that your vision of your family can be done outside of the taxing purview to the greatest degree possible.
And that is the name of his company, Planning with Purpose.
Yes.
How to avoid taxes using a trust. And you want to find out more about Paul's services. How do people get in touch with you, Paul?
Well, head over to our website, legacyandfaith.com. There's past podcasts, upcoming educational opportunities, ways to communicate with us, and it's all found at legacyandfaith.com.
This has been the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.